Juicebox is a sexuality education show geared to adult audiences. Listener discretion is advised. Dropped into Juicebox Radio, where sexuality educators quench your search for responsible, progressive sexuality over your lifespan. You have landed in the juice box. It's featured on the coolest college station in Vancouver. That is CITR 101.9 FM. Yes, in our Lotus Land. We love our town. Maybe you're one of our many online or our international podcast listeners at www.citr.ca or at juiceboxradio.com. Any which way you got here, we are sexified to have you.
Sexified. I love that. With your hosts, Ms. Julia Saunders and Ms. McGillivray. So welcome to the show.
Well, we had quite a bit of a stir from last week's back-to-school sex, our virgin, like a virgin part one show last week that we thought we should continue on. Plus, Caroline had some fabulous research on how to date a virgin.
And how to date someone who's more experienced than you.
More experienced than you and things like that. So we thought, well, we better do a back-to-school sex part two and respond to some of the multiple feedback that we got from the first show. Lots of concerned callers, people that had emailed. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that tonight. We're going to go over the survey that raised so much stink first, and then we're going to talk about how your sexual hang-ups might have physical effects on you, and all kinds of sort of broken bits discussions. When we have broken bits.
And how to fix them.
Those are genitals. I'm talking about genitals, broken genitals. We're going to talk about that, and we're going to be talking about selling your virginity. Can you put yourself through school doing this? Well, we don't know. And a fabulous survey on BC teenagers that's been released by the McCreery Center. Very fabulous, very interesting survey and results on sexual activity in youth. So
So we've got a lot of great stuff to talk about, which is very exciting. Mm-hmm. So for those of us, do you want to recap really briefly, Julia?
Just
what that study we talked about last week was all about that's caused such a stir?
Yeah, well, basically at Columbia University and New York State Psychiatric Institute, they have this HIV Center for Clinical and Behavior Studies. They did this study that basically appeared in January 2008, just recently, in the American Journal of Public Health. So it's a pretty well-known public, you know, journal. Peer-reviewed, quite respected. And they talk about how those who lose their virginity, which is basically, I would think, penis, vagina, sex, intercourse, at a later age, say around 21 to 23, there's some issues. And they're not totally clear on if it's early starters that have later life sexual dysfunctions or if it's late starters that have later life sexual dysfunctions. But it appears that both early starters and late starters have an increased risk of problems. So there's this lovely plum area in the middle there, guys and girls. Hopefully you got it in there. Or maybe you're thinking about losing yours and maybe you're too young or you're, well, I don't know, you're that 30-year-old virgin. Anyway, so there are problems, apparently. So really there's a debate and you're more likely to have, so if you're an early starter, early teens are more likely to have risky sexual partners. They might have more likely to have contracted an STI, of course, because they've been having more sex with more people. And they might have had sex under the influence of drugs or alcohol if you're younger. I think the important point is that the findings are saying that there's doubts on the benefits of abstinence-only sex ed, that we need to teach kids how to communicate about sex, because the biggest issue is that, and they're very clear in this research, is that delaying sexual activity actually creates potential health risks by impeding a person's development of their emotional, their cognitive, their mental, or their interpersonal skills. So in between being able to talk to people that are crucial to a satisfactory sexual functioning and general well-being as people. So it seems that you need to talk about sex and have sex in order to develop yourself fully as a full, complete human being.
Because after all, we are here to procreate.
Right. So very interesting. I think I have to turn myself down and turn you up, honey. I'm just too excited. All right.
I like hearing you excited, Julia. It's quite a lovely thing. And on that note, let's talk about sexual hang-ups and how they might have some psychological effects.
Or physiological. Physiological meaning physical effects. So basically, I mean, some of this research that we was talking about was that they weren't able to actually talk about a causal relationship between age at what one person loses his or her penis, vagina, virginity, and sexual problems that they might experience later. But the researchers did say that it could contribute to a few things, like some, you know, erectile function issues, orgasm issues, especially in women. But from a clinical standpoint, they're often dynamics other than the desire to be abstinent to marriage, for example, such as fear of intimacy or body image problems or alcohol or drug abuse and sexual dysfunction that might influence the delay of you actually starting to have sex with other people as a way of avoiding these kind of issues, these body images, intimacy, these sexual dysfunction issues if you've already got them. So really, I think, what's the final message here? For women, we
good
have this
girls.
Pressure to be good girls and not engage in or enjoy sex because it causes women to shut down sexually, which leads to dysfunction, obviously. So many women I know that are anorgasmic, they have had a lot of problems feeling that it's okay to enjoy their sexual bodies. That leads to anorgasmia down the line where they can't have orgasms or they need a vibrator, they can't get off any other way. And these are dysfunctional ways of being for most people, for most women. And then for men, I think they're saying, you know, they have desire disorders, they get this lifelong disappointments, you know, they have erectile function issues, they may climax too early, that kind of thing. So there's a lot of potential areas that come down from men as well. Women never developing the ability to ask for what they want is a very common thing that comes with not learning to be sexual early on in life. And that this leaves you open for lifelong disappointment, obviously, desire problems, orgasmic functioning, or worse, abuse and violence, leaving you open to that because you haven't learned to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
You haven't learned to express what you want or where your boundaries are or what your values are or what anything like that. And then you end up, the older you get, the more kind of hard you might get around that, and more embarrassed and feeling less skilled, and then it just becomes this, it builds on itself in awkwardness, and that has physiological effects.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
No, it was interesting, though, because we got some interesting feedback in terms of the summary. Had heard from a few virgins, actually, or nearly virgins, I guess is probably the best way to describe, where they have had one or two sexual partners since they lost their virginity.
Okay.
Late bloomers in their mid-20s to late 20s.
Okay.
And having pain during intercourse.
Mm, okay.
And so that was one of the things that I thought we should just touch on, well, both physical and emotional.
I think just to answer that, mm-hmm. around the pain during intercourse, sounds like it could be vaginismus.
What is vaginismus? Is that like a honey trap?
What's a honey trap?
A honey trap is, I don't know if you ever read the book Hollywood Wives that Jackie Collins wrote a long time ago, or is the character...
No, that's your kind of trash.
I love trash. It's great to read in the bathtub and not for what you're thinking. But
rubber ducky, you're the one.
I never got to try that, actually.
I'm so disappointed.
It's all right.
I bought her a waterproof rubber ducky to, you know, for research for the show. And and for her first vibrator, my little friend, she's so innocent. And so, you know, she just didn't put the battery in right. It never worked. Thing doesn't work. It's wrecked. Anyway, it never did work. We never got the rubber ducky going on. But anyway.
No, we didn't.
Bathtub activities. We've gone on a tangent here.
We have gone on a tangent. But Gina Germain, in
so
terms of
honey
that,
her
honey trap.
Honey trap.
Her honey trap. Basically, there is a myth, which we'll get into later. And I just want to double check if what you're talking about is the honey trap, which is basically her muscles clenched completely around the guy's cock and wouldn't let it go. And they had to be surgically removed at the hospital where they had to call emergency.
Okay, well, first of all, I don't think any vagina would clamp hard enough to hold a cock in, and he would probably become flaccid anyway with the kind of
even if he'd
pressure.
Had a heart attack and died.
Well, you don't get instant, what's it called? Sorry.
Necrophilia.
No, necrophilia.
Stiffening of the...
What's it called? I can't remember the story. Excuse me, I can't remember from my... My brain's not functioning very well. the hardening of the body parts. Hardening of the body parts when you die. Rigidity, I can't remember. Anyway.
Rigor mortis.
Thank you. That doesn't happen that fast. And the penis, I think, needs to be at full erection. And the person has to die really fast. And I think still there's some waning of the erection. But I'd have to check my research on that. Anyway, rigor mortis would not be part of it. And the vagina just would not be able to clamp hard enough. I mean, even if you were Mitzi Gaynor, I don't think you'd be able to clamp.
What does Mitzi Gaynor have to do with it?
Because she used to smoke cigarettes and blow ping pong balls out of her vagina. She had amazing vaginal muscles.
You're not talking about Mitzi Gaynor, who was in South Pacific, the Rodgers and Hammerstein musical. You're talking about the stripper, right?
Yes.
Okay, I just want to clarify. Okay.
Stripper used to blow ping pong balls out of her vagina and smoke cigarettes and things. Anyway.
With her pussy.
With her pussy, yes.
Smoke cigarettes
yes.
with her pussy.
Yes, she had full control of her muscles. Now, when somebody has vaginismus, they have the opposite effect. They don't have good control of their muscles because the muscles just clench really hard when they have any kind of like penetrative, whether it's a finger, a tampon, a cock, whatever. And it's very painful. And it's like these spasmodic pubococcyx muscles and the whole vaginal wall muscles. Sometimes they'll also, the ones that kind of vibrate when you have motions of waves when you have an orgasm, those muscles there Caesar. As well. And there's, yeah, so there's some
I
am so brain dead.
That's all right, Dan.
You know, the sphincters, some of them are automatic without use of your real brain, like your cognitive mind, and others are you have to cognitively control. So in vaginismus, there's a couple things going on there, and it's
okay.
Basically a clamping and a painful penetration. You can't be penetrated, or maybe you can just have a little finger or a tampon is okay, but anything larger than that causes extreme pain and this clamping that happens with the vagina.
So would you recommend for this particular person to go to a gynecologist?
Gynecologists, you know, they aren't always up on it. They kind of call it ghost pain. They think it's totally psychosomatic. Maybe it did start like that with abuse or rape. I mean, a lot of times vaginismus sufferers of vaginismus have a religious major guilt thing going on, or they've been abused, or there's something that has started as psychological. It is also a physiological thing. So there's physiotherapists I recommend in Vancouver. I don't know of any physiotherapists outside of Vancouver, but I know of a couple here.
Okay.
You'd have to email me with asking for their names because I don't have it right on hand right now. But
so that's Julia at JuiceBoxRadio.com.
Julia at JuiceBoxRadio.com. Thank you. And yeah, so I'll get you her name. And she works specifically with women with vaginismus. And there are, you know, probe tools and things. And exercises you can do. And then, you know, but it's psychological as well. And so you have to work with both, you know, you have to heal yourself from the inside and outside. So,
and with vagissimus.
From the inside and inside in this case, but anyway.
Yes. Would that also cause, when the cock was exiting, would it cause a scraping feeling of pain, or would that be something possibly different?
Well, that sounds to me that her vaginal walls maybe are really irritated, and that can happen from vagissimus because of the clamping and this, you know, even in the middle of the day, you won't even feel it because you have nothing inside of you, mm-hmm. but you might have that clamping and it'll cause fissures, like rips in your vaginal wall.
That sounds
so
painful.
When you have a little bit of penetration, then eventually, like quickly, you'll mm-hmm. get sore inside, and usually you shouldn't be able to feel the lining of your vagina. You shouldn't be able to feel it. You can feel pressure, and when something pushes from the inside, like on your G-spot or fingers or whatever, but you actually shouldn't be able to feel the walls. Mm-hmm. So it sounds to me that, again, it's a muscular issue inside.
Okay.
With her. And
the other things I thought it possibly could be, which I'd suggested, is getting tested for STIs.
Yeah, she might have her vagina might be irritated.
BV.
And yeah, so she might have just her tissues are irritated in general, and then that causes the clamping because it's sore, right?
Mm-hmm.
She might have, yeah, so definitely getting STI. Always get STI testing. If there's ever a question, just go in and get tested. It's really painless. Come on.
And for those of you who are listening who don't know what STI is, it's sexually transmitted infections. Just
Thank
in
you.
Case.
The clap.
I don't know. The clap.
All right,
why was it called the clap anyway?
I'm not sure.
Me neither.
I should get the retrosexive back where we can come up with these histories of things. I know why they called it the drip, gonorrhea, because men had green stuff dripping from their urethra, from the tip of their cock. They'd have green dripping coming out of that, so they called chlamydia.
So
gonorrhea, the drip.
Green eggs and ham going wrong.
Okay, anyway, so how are we doing here? Okay,
we're
so we got
great.
The honey trap, we
so got
the 25-year-old virgin, we got emotional.
What about broken bits?
Broken cocks.
Broken phalluses.
The broken cock is an issue. It's a serious problem. Because it depends on how you broke it. It happens over time. It's a very difficult tissue to
heal.
What
does a broken cock look like?
It depends on what kind of broken you've done to yourself. But some men, if it's bent kind of in that half, that you can kind of see this sort of totally bent in half, they might have also been over time had a tight skin on one side and or masturbated in one way, and they've kind of bent themselves, or they've had erections and they've just pushed them down because they've been afraid of showing their erection, so they've really crammed them down, and they've over time, you know, maybe gently broken it. So
okay.
Now they've got this bent cock. Now, I'm not talking about a soft bend like a banana bend. I'm talking about like a really good crimp, you know, and then guys who have intercourse with a somewhat soft erection, and they get this bend happening, or maybe they've had a certain position where they slammed their cock in somehow and they bent it, and then it was really painful, and so then they've got this little soft spot that's kind of bruised and inflamed, and then that will continue to bend and crack and break, and eventually your cock is pretty fucked.
And with that also...
That's what I've heard. I've read as well. It's hard to fix it. There's surgeries that don't work very well for bad cases. But if you have a sort of banana situation where you feel like, oh, I'd like it to be more straight, you can work on that gently over time. And, you know, over a year or something, you can get it to maybe straighten up a bit. But it means you have to stop doing the thing that's bending it in the one way. And then other people were really just born with tight skin on one side that's created this bend. There's somewhat genetics involved, but definitely I've seen in my time a few broken cocks.
And how would you recommend somebody bringing that up to a partner, especially if it's their first partner or second partner, where it's just bringing very delicately up?
Where they might mistake you for a transsexual? On your first sexual encounter? Yes.
I wasn't going to bring that up about that friend who had that experience.
I had a friend who had this experience, and it was quite horrific for her, but she dealt with it fine. Anyway.
What did she do?
Well, she did ask the gentleman if he, you know, what was wrong with your cock, but...
did she actually ask him if he was trans?
She did explain that she was worried about that to him later on, and of course it made this... made the whole situation worse, because I really don't think you should project what you think on somebody's penis, because really, you know, that's what they were given and or that's what they've done to themselves. So they have
manhood.
This thing, and it's their manhood. And, you know, it's like saying to a woman who's got, you know, a nice, plump, labia with lots of juicy, you know, lips and things that, oh, wow, you know, it looks like you stretched those things over your life, you know,
aww,
or something derogatory and like that. Mm-hmm. So you don't want to be commenting on people's genitals. We have close to our hearts these genitals of ours. Nothing but, you know, respect and admiration is really warranted. So I would just broach the subject and say, oh, you know, I've never seen something like this. And so, you know, is there a specific positions that you feel more comfortable with or that hurt more? Or, you know, how do we go about that? Might look like fun and doggy style. You know, like, I don't know. It might be hard if you're not very good at talking about sex.
I was actually going to ask, actually, because one of the virgins nearly virgins who had spoken to me had actually mentioned that doggy style was actually very comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just wondering if that might be more of a possibly broken phallus.
Well, it depends on which way it curves away from the body. If it's away from the body, which is a little less common than a towards the body bend, that doggy style would certainly have some benefits. You'd maybe get a little bit hitting the G-spot a little bit better in the penis vagina sex category.
That's what I thought. Other recommendations I made just getting a dildo and something smaller than him and just practicing and seeing if
for the vaginismus issue, like the clamping vagina walls?
With the, we weren't sure if that was that or not, so.
Well, also, if he is a larger cock and, you know, you also have to be careful with the fit there. Mm. If he's stretching things out and there's not enough lube and that kind of thing, or she's not excited, or maybe she's got, you know, issues in her mind and she's not really that aroused. You know, there's things you have to work with that. That's a whole other show. And, you know, also if he's got a bend, he's got to realize that you got to switch the positions up because the vagina starts to get, you know, really rubbed too much on one side. Definitely from, you know, different people have explained this to me that they have a very bent cock. It needs to kind of, you need to rotate that thing around. So inside the body so that, you know, you're not rubbing on one side for too long. Mm-hmm.
So a broken cock isn't a myth, in other words. There actually are men that do have broken cocks.
Yes, yes. And I generally think a man would know.
Okay.
But then there's been, in that story of this friend, the man didn't know. He thought he was normal and just perfectly fine.
Wow. So it is fact, not fiction.
Yes.
Sorry, I just had to
double
check.
There's all kinds of Frankensteins around.
All the things that we try and fix.
That's right. Okay, so...
You were also mentioning something about something vagina dent.
Vagina dentata. Or let's get back to some broken vaginas. No, vagina dentata is this a myth about teeth inside the vagina?
I thought that was really interesting because I'd never heard of that before.
Yeah, there's
Greek
pictures.
Roman.
Yeah, and there's pictures of like a woman with like teeth coming out of her vagina and the man kind of running away. And it was kind of kept, I mean, you had a very good idea of why this was created, this myth, but it was, I think my what I've read from history books is that it was created to keep men from having sex with women, just basically like keeping men away from women. And, you know, that's what they would teach men, that these women had teeth inside their vaginas until they got married. Or something, or whatever the myth was. And
which no wonder guys would sleep with 12-year-old boys.
Exactly.
I would, too, if that was the case.
If you're worried
not
about women.
To, but...
Yeah, all yeah. kinds of crazy things going on back in the day.
It's wild.
Bloodletting for... Oh, I just...
Oh, there's some really scary thoughts there. But on that note, in terms of, like, 12-year-olds having sex and things, there's
yes.
all sorts of interesting things, a little bit older. The Canadian Center of Addiction and Mental Health, they have a Center for Prevention Science surveyed...
close to 2,000.
Yeah.
Grade 9 and 11 students.
In Southwest Ontario schools, both rural and urban, between 2004 and 2007. And what they found was 10% of males and 27% of females admitted to being pressured into unwanted sexual activity. For example, they found 15% of girls reported having oral sex as a means to avoid intercourse.
Not much has changed since we were
not
in school.
Not at all. And the study also revealed that 4% of males in grade 11 had also admitted trying to force someone to have sex with them. That kind of scared me, actually.
4%, yeah.
And that the students of both genders were subjected to significant amounts of sexual harassment at school.
Yeah, I mean, nothing much has changed by the sounds of things since we were in school.
Yeah, and the researchers, it hasn't at all. It's quite scary. Mm-hmm. The researchers found that girls were more than likely to report having received sexual comments, unwanted looks or touches, and having their body parts commented or rated, which we were thinking about
Facebook. Or squeezed and touched. I mean, that happened to me in school.
I had that too from grade three on, which was quite unpleasant. But
it's interesting. I mean, they say boys were much more likely to report being called homophobic insults such as gay or fag than girls, which were lezzy or dyke, and the lezzy thing. I remember being called lezzy lots of times. And that this pattern of homophobic insults continued to be a problem from year to year for boys. And the incident rate was 34% in grade 9 and 30% in grade 11. So it's kind of continuing up into the older grades, whereas the homophobic insults declined for women and girls between grade 9 and grade 11 from 22 to 12. Why do you think that it would decline?
Because I think I think it's because by that point, if guys thought two girls were getting it on, they think it's hot and it becomes a sexual fantasy and it's a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's why.
I think so too.
Because they're turning from boys to men.
Yeah, so this was some study that we found here. We have another one from BC, really, really interesting, with Dr. Elizabeth Sewick, who's the research director of the McCreery Center, and we're going to talk about that after the break. But before we end, we had another email from one of our guests from the Sugar Daddy show last week, and she says, "Hey, Caroline, this came to my email this morning, girl selling her virginity at the Bunny Ranch." So I think it's interesting. The Bunny Ranch is where?
I'm not sure where the Bunny Ranch is, but she's going to be on the Howard Stern show to announce her offer.
Yeah.
Apparently. And so it's going to be, or it was on September 9th, actually, where this 21-year-old is selling her virginity at the Bunny Ranch so she can earn her master's degree without having to work while doing her studies.
So this Natalie Dillon girl, 21, apparently she was really hot and had it on, you can find out more at bunnyranch.com/virgin. So it's interesting because this story is about virgins, which we've been talking about, penis, vagina, virgins. But how would anyone actually tell if a person was a virgin?
I was wondering that. I was
like, she could just say, "I'm a virgin" and act all innocent. But if her hymen isn't really thick and unbroken, which is a very small percentage of the population of the world, has a thick hymen that even as they get older in life and they ride bicycles and they ride horses and they, you know, touch themselves with their fingers and they put tampons in or whatever, those hymens get stretched over time just naturally. That's a natural progression. They open up ready for menstruation to come out, etc. Very rarely there's a thick hymen, so it's really impossible to tell if a woman is a virgin. There's such a few percentages of us that would actually bleed upon intercourse, first intercourse, especially if we're at all aroused.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's kind of impossible to tell by that test. Now, if you've been infibulated, which is like sewn together like they do in, unfortunately, a lot of countries in Africa and some other countries in the world that are still doing genital mutilation, that's a stage 4 genital mutilation, is the infibulation, which is sewing up, which is what they do to guarantee the virginity of these young, poor young women. Horrible what's going on in the world still, even though it is illegal in most countries.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, all of the countries of the world have come together to make this a human rights issue. It's still happening in a lot of smaller, you know, small rural areas, Muslim, et cetera. And so, those are how they guarantee. They sew them up.
Yeah, it's quite scary.
Yeah, so other than that, you can't really tell. So good for Natalie Dillon. Hopefully she'll make some money at what she's doing.
I wish
her the best and that she gets through her master's. Good for her. We're going to be back. So you are in Juice Box, and you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. We will be right back after this with a quick little word from, I think it's, we have Daniel Packard calling.
Yeah, he's supposed to be calling in.
I have someone calling right now, and we're going to be talking about how to date a virgin.
Like a
Thanks
virgin.
For listening.
T-shirts, well-mannered cardigans, pants, jackets, and underwear.
The Friends of CITR card scores you discounts at Antisocial, Berku's Angels, and Hits Boutique.
Uzbekistan Prints or Rajasthan Colors.
Support CITR Radio and pick up your card today.
Juice Box is a sexuality education show geared to adult audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
And we are back in the box. In case you're just joining us now, you've landed in Juicebox Radio on 101.9 FM, and we're just listening to Madonna, the original Like a Virgin Woman.
Very nice choice,
I
Caroline.
Really liked that, and I thought it was perfect for going back to school. It's pretty hot.
Back to school.
Very, very hot. And we've got a special guest on with us who is not so virginal. So, Mr. Daniel Packard, welcome to our show.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. So tell me, why do men like to date virgins? Is that just a myth or is that fact?
Well, I would go as far as to say I think it's a fetish. I mean, I haven't met anyone who said, you know, I met this really great girl. She's so much fun. We had a ton of fun, but she's not a virgin. So I'm just going to go watch CSI instead. I think, you know, we all have our fantasies. And I wouldn't imagine that any guy is out there seeking out virgins to marry. I mean, maybe religious. But I think it's, any time, it all goes back to our favorite topic, you know, the primitives, the ancient, you know, circuitry where we get, you know, and there's an egg, and there's a time men are wired to go out and fight to the death and then gain access to the female. And men don't get to do that anymore. I think women still have a lot of fun ways to be, you know, feminine. You can wear pink things and talk and get your nails done. And there's a lot of ways publicly to be a girl, but there's actually not a lot of ways to be a guy anymore. You can't walk around with, like, a pig carcass or a spear. Or you're not allowed to, you know, if you see a woman and you know, your natural urge, you know, is to do something a lot more aggressive than what we normally do. You know, sometimes women get frustrated, like, oh, my God, that guy's staring at me. You know, if you want to know what a guy really wants to do, go to the park and watch dogs. That's what we want to do. You know, we want to walk up, bite your neck, sniff your ass, but we don't. So that male energy of to conquer, to take, to make it our own, we don't get to experience very often, and I think it manifests itself in that there's an egg and that we are the first ones there and that we will truly impregnate you and spread the seed.
So it's all about evolution is what you're saying.
It's repressed. It's evolution coming out. I would also certainly say that men, when it comes to sex, mm-hmm. when it comes down to it, I think there's a natural male essence. If you go with the general theory that male is the dominant, you know, with that general energy, not to say there aren't exceptions, but the man wants to conquer and the woman often likes to be conquered. And so, you know, we're not stupid anymore. You know, when a woman says, you know, you're my daddy, who's your daddy? You know, there's a certain part of you that knows that you're not actually her daddy because she's already said that about 10 to 20 times by the time you got to her. So to actually hear daddy and actually have it mean something mm-hmm. or, you know, no one's ever done it to me like that and actually have it mean that, mm-hmm. Men have a natural sexual energy to be the best. That goes back to genetics. We beat out the other males, and we're the best. Women generally like to feel like they're the only. They like to feel special. We like to be the best. So the virginal, you know for a fact you are the best. You're the first one in there. You know there's no competition for the sperm, and you get the virgin.
I like that. So for those virgins out there, you're going to be teaching them how to suck it like a porn star, aren't you, coming up really soon?
And I appreciate you embracing the title. It was quite a fun topic. I was telling people, you know, it's a class on, I teach them the psychology of sort of the male sexual journey and why we like what we like, something that women really couldn't possibly understand because the women have their own experience. And I was telling people about it, and I said, I want to call it Suck It Like a Porn Star. And so many women said, you can't call it that. We're not porn stars. What's wrong with you? And I would look them all in the eye and say, are you sure? And they'd all go, oh, you're right. We want to be little dirty little girls. And so I stuck with the title simply because, you know, there's a part of women that want to, you know, be little porn stars and be naughty. And by calling it that, you're giving permission for women to publicly embrace that side. So it was a gamble, but I think it's paying off because the title, you know, if I was called, like, The Secret to a Genital Excitation, it probably wouldn't have gotten the same response. So, yeah, I am going to be there, and I'm going to tell you sort of really what it's like to be a guy and what are the titillating things. What do we like to feel? What do we like to see? What do we like to hear? What is the underlying animal energy that we want to see from you and how to execute that?
So when can they check out this workshop at The Art of Loving that you're doing?
You can go to danielpacker.com. There's a link. Or you can go to artofloving.ca, and it's September 17th.
The 17th. We should mark that on our calendar.
Mark it down. It's a, as best I can tell, it's the only oral sex class in the world that sort of comes from the male perspective, really teaching you. And just so you know, this is tried and true. I've been teaching this class in colleges for the last 6 months, and it's a guilty little pleasure that I get to teach 18-year-olds how to suck cock, and it's totally legal. But I will tell you that a lot of oral sex classes, just a lot of sex classes, can often be a bit boring and pedantic and just not fun. And I've always
I've taught some, but mine aren't the boring ones either. But what I was going to say in terms of that is, does that get into the teacher and student fantasy?
Does it get into that?
Yeah, does it? Because if you're teaching all these girls, these young 18-year-olds to suck cock, does it get into the teacher's student thing?
You know what I love is the fact that you actually said teacher-student in that dirty, husky voice. That you'd actually dropped into teacher-student.
I just found out
about the power of teacher-student because I taught this. Well, I will say the class is going to be very fun. I mean, my background was as a performer and a comedian, so I'm there to make it fun. I have found that if you're going to talk about sex, no matter what you say, make it fun, because ultimately that fun is what's going to carry you through. So I'm going to be cracking jokes. I mean, it's a big, hilarious, fun way to explore your sexuality. But the teacher-student thing, yeah, I'm just figuring that out. I'm a guy. I don't have a vagina yet, so I don't know.
Yet.
But it's like, yeah, I'm working on it.
You're to working
ultimately
on
understand
vagina.
The female experience, I think I'll have a sex change just so I can do my job that much better.
And on that note, is that coming up at all about having a sex change or anything in your show, your fringe show?
No, I think when I run out of things to talk about with men and women, which will probably take a good 400 to 500 years, then to create a whole new solo show, I'll get a sex change. So that's how badly I want a fringe show, is that I'll actually have a sex change.
So tell us when your fringe show, it's running right now. How long is it running till?
We have shows Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, simply because I'm doing two shows. What I do is kind of a really, I don't know, people can go to my website, danielpacker.com, and they
the
can see video. But what it is, it's a really fun, interactive debate about love, sex, dating. I have questionnaire cards, and the audience, often women, has a question or frustration, and I give them a fun perspective that they may not have. So there's going to be the sexy show, which is held down at Granville Island.
Okay.
And I wanted a place where I could just cut loose, where I could unleash, where me and the audience could just get nitty-gritty dirty. You know, they'll be drinking. We've got burlesque dancers and cabaret dancers getting you guys all lubed up. And that's the naughty show, and that's running 8 o'clock Thursday through Sunday.
Okay.
So even Saturday, there's three shows. There's two sexy shows and one naughty show. Tomorrow, there's a sexy show and a naughty show. So danielpacker.com has a whole, all the list and times, but they are selling out, so people should get
should
in
early.
Should
be booking really soon. That sounds really awesome, and thank you so much for calling in, and we are hoping to check out your show.
And also the Flirt Fest, could I mention that?
Sure. That's through the Rendezvous Club, isn't it?
Yeah, Flirt Fest.
It's
you know,
teaching women how to flirt, is it not?
No.
No.
The basic premise is you already know how to flirt. I'm just creating a safe place for you to unleash that side of yourselves. It's when I lecture on the radio a lot of what I talk about is getting women to be conscious that a lot of men are just scared and confused, don't know how to pursue. And since women have so much sexual power and women know what they want, in this modern era where women make what men make and, you know, have a lot of socioeconomic power, it's now time to get the sexier economic power, and that girls go after boys. And there's a lot of story and myth about this. Boys like to chase, they'll think I'm a slut, and it's all just made-up rumors designed to keep people safe and not get their feelings hurt. So I created Flirt Fest, which is where I create a really, really fun, safe place for women to go after men and to experience that, to realize that we don't like the chase. So I do a big comedy show up front to get everybody loose and in the mood. I then interview the boys in a really fun way and break the ice. And I just create this really fun, organic way for people to kind of leave high school behind, have a great time, and flirt their little heinies off and meet some amazing people in the process.
I do have one question about that.
Mm-hmm.
If women are chasing after these guys, how does it get to the guy in their inner caveman? Because basically if they're being pursued, how does that work and how does that tie in with the whole hunter instinct thing that we were talking about at the beginning of this with the whole virgin thing, which is why the guys like to be able to conquer?
I never said the guys like to conquer. I said there's an energy in men that enjoy that feeling that energy.
Okay.
But
I will say that
the average man, and I've done a fair amount of research and I've also lived it, is so phenomenally scared and freaked out and confused since the day he was 14 that any tiny ounce of loss in the conquer energy, they are more than thrilled by the fact that they don't have to be feel 14 again. If you walk up to a guy and you are open with him and he knows where he stands and you make him feel appreciated, not an ounce of him is saying, could you stand over there so I could conquer you? He was so happy. Jeans, t-shirt, and a smile is enough to get the average guy to go out with you. So, again, the beauty of Flirt Fest is there's a lot of story that women think about all this, and obviously women talk to other women to get advice on men, which is the wrong place to go. So this is an actual scientific little experiment. You get to come on down. We've got great guys, and you just get to basically prove that all the things that anyone ever told you about boys are wrong, and that you can walk up to them any day of the week and ask them out, and they are absolutely happy. Operators are standing by. And that's September 18th. And again, all that is at danielpackard.com.
So you are a very busy man. Thank you so much for taking the time to just tell us all about this stuff.
No problem.
We'll definitely be checking that out at danielpackard.com.
Yep.
Thank you so much, you.
Have a great evening.
You too. Thanks for calling. Bye-bye.
See you at the Naughty Show.
We will be there. Bye-bye. Well, I like being conquered. But I'm not a virgin
anymore. Packard. Oh, I just have to keep my mouth shut.
He's got a lot to say.
I think that a lot of what he's doing sounds a lot like the stuff I've been doing for a long time, but that's between him and me. So I wanted to say that I think that this study of the BC, like, teens and that kind of thing, maybe we should talk about that on another show.
Sure.
That kind of goes into sex ed and why that's so important. Because I think dating a virgin is probably more kind of keeping in line with what we're chatting about here. And you did such great research on that, like, weeks ago, and we didn't get to it. So I have a feeling with the last 15 minutes we probably won't get to it again unless we focus on it. So I know, what is it now, dating a virgin, how to do this and how to date people more experienced than you. Yeah?
Yeah. Well, dating a virgin may, well, virginity, it does seem old-fashioned and outdated, but there's a lot of women in their 20s and 30s who are doing exactly that. They're being virginal. And if you are dating a future sex kitten and she's decided that you're the one, there's a lot of things, you know, you're going to want to keep in mind as you rock her world. Unlike sexually experienced women, if she's a virgin, she really doesn't know what to expect. And apart from what her girlfriends have told her, which usually means she's going to be anticipating tons of pain or lots of ecstasy, depending who she's talked to. But whatever happens, she's going to be really nervous. And that's where, as a guy, this is your responsible to come in. Even though in Juicebox we try to make sure you're, as a woman, you own your own orgasm, when you don't know what you're doing, you need a little bit of guidance there. So there's certain key points that you want to do. And number one, you want to avoid ultimatums. And you got to remember, her first time is going to be a little bit awkward. And nobody likes being under the gun. And it's absolutely okay to let her know that you're ready to take things to the next level. But you don't want her to think that's all you're after. And women who are still virgins at 25 or 30 are unlikely to cave into pressure anyways. They're obviously pretty skilled at saying that no. Like, if they don't want to do it, they're going to say no. And if she's a virgin and she hasn't given up the goods yet, it's an indication that she's waiting for somebody special. So laying all that pressure on will make her feel cornered and trapped. And it's definitely not exactly the hallmark of being a Mr. Prince Charming, which, I mean, I hate to say it, but I kind of was still waiting for my prince to come. Maybe that's what I should have played during the break. Julia is laughing at me right now and covering her head, so... but it's really important. It's to, A, gauge the level of her arousal. You want to make sure she's incredibly horny and as wet as she can get her. So even though you have lube, you want to make sure she's feeling really, really good, because if she's not feeling really good, the cervix is going to be really low and it can be even more painful.
And
so you want to make sure
just not being opened up and not being wet enough to receive a penetrative, you know, activity. But also, like, I don't know, this giving up the goods thing, I'm getting triggered by that. What else, honey? What else? Is it how to get her to get into you? I think, you know, if it's your first penis-vagina activity that you've had in your life, both of you are going to be nervous. Like, if it's, you know, getting her to be highly aroused, for example, might be kind of a challenge. But I definitely Just want to make sure that you're both really ready, like you both feel excited and it's working. And if it doesn't work the first time, you can just do other things and then try it again another time. You know, that's another option. You don't have to go all the way when you decide that you're going to go all the way if things start to not work out. Right?
Yeah, and there's some really good tips. Like, number one, this is from ehow.com. Ask them why they're still a virgin. Find out, reevaluate, like, if they've chose to do it because of religious or personal health or moral conviction. And find out what they're expecting from a relationship and how they see their relationship progressing.
Okay, so that so these are steps towards discussing taking the step to
becoming a non-virgin.
Becoming, having intercourse.
Yes, to have your cherry popped, basically.
Whatever cherry it might be, whether it's your anal cherry, okay?
Yes, or whether it's
why
giving.
Why do you still want to be an anal virgin? Is this for religious reasons or? No. It's for pain management. Anyway, okay.
Actually, you know, I have heard stories, and I think you told me this actually a long time ago, where there were a lot of teens at one point, they were doing studies on it, where they were having anal sex because they didn't want to lose their virginity, so to speak. So they'd
yes.
rather get their anal cherry popped as opposed to, and I think
yes.
I heard about girls doing this when we were in high school. Mm-hmm. There's
you keep
rumors
your
about
vagina
it.
All intact without
your
the
hubby.
Penile entry, which, by the way, again, I don't think anyone would actually notice the difference. But, well, because, I mean, no, not the penetrative difference in the feeling. I mean, unless you've got this really thick, tight hymen thing that is very rare for most people, you know, it's hard to tell who's a virgin and who's not. So, anyway, go ahead.
Even with the anus?
The anal virgins, anal virgins, I'm sure you'll know because they'll be painful and kind of uncomfortable and people might be protesting quite a bit. You have to use quite a bit more lube than that.
Definitely.
No bum sex, are you going to say? No bananas. You don't use bananas. Well, if you want to warm up the anus, you might want to use those mini bananas, but they might get lost. Make sure you put a condom on whatever you're going to put in your body, please.
No gerbils.
No fruit without a condom.
No gerbils.
And no
gerbils animals.
And animals, yes.
Do you think that Richard Gere
bestiality is always bad. What's that?
Do you think that Richard Gere rumor from when we were kids is true?
Oh, there's been... I work in the health field in the hospital. People arrive with gerbils in their asses, yes.
Why?
Because of the excitement and the thing is moving and making all these. I say get a vibrator. There's got to be some very interesting sex toys out there that have multiple moving parts that you can kind of pop up into your anus and your rectum and have them go heyday. There's those automatic ones that, you know, like that someone else controls. So it could be pretending to be something unexpected, if that's what you're looking for.
I could see that as a very master and servant kind of thing.
Right.
Where you're at work sometime and all of a sudden it's like, woo!
Yeah.
And you just get that lovely jolt.
Yes.
Can you imagine
lovely
how you're...
Lovely jolt, yes, as you're in a meeting and you're trying to be serious.
With your boss and you're asking for a promotion.
So we're trying to talk to virgins about getting their cherries popped.
Yes.
Okay.
Step two, be honest.
I hate this language we're using tonight. It's just driving me nuts.
What?
Oh, it's okay. It's all very heterosexist and... And just
people can adopt
old fashioned and
it's from ehow.com.
Eno, whatever. Okay.
Emo.
So be honest. Some individuals would rather avoid the challenge of being the first. So let the person know your true intentions. What does this mean? So be oh, okay. So
just
they're saying
honest,
for the virgin
like
needs
sex.
To be honest because she or he needs to say, I have never had this kind of thing because some people don't want to actually take your first experience. Some people would rather you do that with somebody else.
And
because
then come in.
There's a great attachment that happens with usually the first intercourse with for most people. And so, yeah.
Step three, show respect. Let them know that you respect their decision to remain a virgin and offer support. And when the... and
well, like Daniel Packard says... get suck it like a porn star in the meantime if you can't give it up, right? This is what I think I got from that, but...
I asked about it, actually.
Now, so. what was this only oral sex class in the world from a male perspective? I have to say, I think most oral sex classes are from a male perspective. I think there's very rare ones that are from a female perspective, honestly, but anyway.
There's actually that book that came out, and I can't remember what it's called, but it was basically How to Give Great Head from a Gay Male, and I
yes.
can't remember
gay,
what the
suck
actual
cock
title.
Like a gay man.
Is that what it was called?
I think I have it at home, yes.
I want it, borrow it, actually,
because
I've
it
been
to
very
you,
curious
sure.
about it.
That's why I'm an expert in the field.
Step four, keep your hormones in control. Yes, you are an expert. And I didn't mean it to sound that way.
Thanks.
And I wouldn't know from personal experience.
Yes, you don't have a penis.
No, and I don't have a dildo yet.
Well, we've got to change that. We've got to get on the dildo action. We have one of those Wii vibes arriving in the mail soon. We'll have to give you an update on that, everyone.
Definitely, we'll have to do it.
Fancy new vibrators that you can wear while you're having intercourse.
So that's just...
I think they sound fabulous.
They
one
sound very hot.
Inside and
very sexy.
Getting the G-spot, and the other one on the outside is getting the clitoris, and then the penis is inside, and it's getting vibrated, and I think, wow, this is all sounding very good. What happened to old-fashioned fingers? Well, you know, this is Marion from Hans von Kloss's Misery Hours.
I can
it's
teach
the peanut
anybody
gallery
how,
right
to
now.
How to take care of themselves with fingers.
Yes, you're...
I'm sorry for interrupting.
You're okay.
I'm very good that way. Step
you
four,
can talk
keep
about,
your hormones under control.
You can talk about fingers anytime. Marianne, that's fine with me. Okay.
Keep the hormones under control
yes,
instead
get
of trying
your cock
to pressure
sucked.
Them.
Empty the pipes before you go on a date with a virgin.
Exactly.
Make sure.
I'm glad you agree with me on that one, because when we had Zach Broman on, he did not agree with them jerking off before going on a date. He felt it ruined the sexual chemistry and energy, which I thought was interesting.
I think it's not, no, because women tend to respond to men not being too over the top or too affectionate or too much all over them. Like, women tend to prefer that. They like their men to be a little bit, like, chill.
Mm-hmm.
So let them come to you, you know. It can only be a good thing, I think, in the end.
I agree. Step five, choose situations carefully. Use caution to prevent going too far too soon. Go on dates in the community or with friends when needed. And I'm just going to go through this one really fast. Step six, discuss sex. Should the relationship develop to the point the virgin is ready to have sex, make sure all these issues are discussed. And remember to talk about personal history and birth control, which were some of the juice box points that we talked about last week.
Contraceptive control, yeah.
Yes. And you'd think that...
Reading all this means that the girls are the virgins, but sometimes it's the reverse. I myself have taken a few cherries of men's
actually,
over the years.
So have I. I was actually with one for 5.5 years because I trained him very well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's so nice to do your bit for humanity. I did. You always have to do your bit for humanity in this world. So, yes, and, you know, it's not just about having never had penis vagina or anal intercourse or something, but also that you might just be more experienced than your lover.
Mm-hmm.
As a female, you might have more experience. So you have to sort of guide these people a little bit and be kind and patient and communicative and...
And play teacher and student.
Yes, right.
I really like that. We should have played Hot for Teacher one more time. I liked a little bit of Van Halen.
I think you should become
is
a sex
Van Halen
educator.
Yes, I could. Although that could be really dangerous. I don't want to be another Susan Smith.
There's a reason I don't teach a lot of boys. I teach mostly girls. I think it's safer that way. I have actually taught some boys, and it always ends up becoming a little dodgy.
Well, it's because they see you and they know how hot you are.
They follow me around and they get, yes, I've had some stalkers come from high schools as well, so.
And I'm sure the women, you just don't realize that the young girls are hitting on you because you think, oh, she's such a sweet, nice young thing. You don't pick it up that way.
Meanwhile, they're all hot for teacher. Anyway,
exactly.
It's all very inappropriate.
They're going home and basically masturbating in their cotton
it's
pants.
All very inappropriate. It's all very inappropriate.
So when she's more experienced than you, finding out that your girl has done it more times in a different places than you have, it can be really disconcerting.
Yes, a lot of people have issues with, especially men, with their women having more experience.
And on that note,
it's just not right.
Ladies,
take advantage of it. Have fun.
Yes, but don't tell them how many people you've slept with.
Never a good idea to share that kind of numbers, unless you're getting married and it's just kind of like a full... Well, if it's like a full disclosure of all things or something and you decide you're really going to totally know everything about each other and you're in love and you're whatever and you decide you're going to be totally... Otherwise, I say keep it to yourself. Nobody needs to know numbers. People,
always keep it to yourself.
Okay, well, maybe always. You've got more to hide.
It's kind of like one of those things like your age. You don't need to reveal those things.
I always
do. A woman never... Really?
I'm an ageist and a numberist.
Interesting. Okay, I'm not. I tend to be a little bit more secretive about those things.
But you know what? A woman does love a sexually confident man. I mean, you got to tell her that So telling her that she scares you is not going to help your manly image is what this thing says.
She doesn't want a guy who's going to shrivel up at this fact that she knows how to give him pleasure because she's done it so many times. Nor does she want a guy who recoils in horror when she tells him what she wants to do. And this is a great way
okay,
to get
Annie,
on her
Okay, we've got 1 minute.
All right. The best way to deal with
how
a
to
woman,
get on her great list?
Yes, is to suck it up, live, learn, and be open to her advice. It may be a little freaky.
Open to her advice. Uh-huh. Maybe scary. Maybe you have to take an ego slice, but we're totally going over time, Marianne.
We are. But being with a girl that's more experienced will change your sex life forever, which is why I think a lot of young boys who are 25 like dating us in
no
the late 30s.
I have no trouble picking up the young ones.
Though my young ones like us.
They're very keen to learn from the older women, for sure.
They are. Here's some great tips to get you there. Be really good at one thing. This could be kissing, a sensuous massage, or cunnilingus. Whatever it is, just make sure you're really good at it and she enjoys it. It's really, really
good to
important.
Have at least one good skill.
Definitely. This presents her with the illusion that you've already been educated by some other woman. And if you're really good at that one thing, she'll just accept that perhaps even though you're not perfect at everything, she'll thoroughly enjoy the fruits of schooling you, however limited you may be. Be confident in your
touch.
Oh,
yes, absolutely key. You've got to be confident. When you place your hand somewhere, just place it, do it. Like, don't be, like, jittery and all that stuff. Like, just really be, just go for it. And obviously not being hard and going hard pressure or whatever, but just don't be like jittery and kind of nervous about touching a person. Just touch them and just do it.
This is why women love those charming playboys. They've done it so many times and they get it right the first time. She's just hoping you've touched enough women, or at least one woman enough times, that you know what feels good and what doesn't. Granted, not every guy has been blessed with at least one decent ex-girlfriend, so, but don't let this hold you back. And if you're in doubt, just enjoy yourself. But just not too much, and don't premature ejaculate.
Or be a starfish.
I don't know if I've ever seen a guy being a starfish,
okay, well,
princess.
Drama king, whatever, lay there, lazy man.
Another reason women like playboys is because they love to put their hands all over a woman's body, and this makes women feel sexy. Touch her because you love to do so, and she'll be thrilled that you're enjoying it so much. And on that note, I just want to add one more thing, which is that read her body language and make sure that she's actually enjoying it, because if you're touching her and she's not responding, give her a breather. Take some time, actually talk, and make it feel good, and learn to relax, because she'll be able to tell if you're trying too hard. So those are some of the big ones, and try and relax your face, breathe, match your breath patterns to them, learn when you should let her take control and when you should jump in.
What
and
is this big, long thing? This is, like, basically about all about sex and how to do it.
It is, because a sexually experienced woman will just do what you want, what she wants you to do, guiding you all the way, because maybe she knows just what she likes.
Maybe you should continue this next week, honey.
Maybe I will.
Because there's a lot going on here.
There is.
And I think we're way over, and this is just getting on route here.
Yes, okay.
It's Hans Kloss. Hans von Kloss' Misery Hour coming up next. 2 hours of very hot.
Erotic.
Erotic. Erotic. Put your hands out over my body. So erotic. it's time to get Marian on the board here. Coming up next, and you know what? We hope you enjoyed tonight's show. It was a bit of a mishmash. Thanks, Daniel Packard, for calling in. We hope you go and check out one of his multiple shows. And
in the meantime,
tune into Juicebox Radio every Wednesday night
at 10 o'clock.
And what were you going to say about virgins?
Like a virgin.
Oh! You can listen to Caroline next week all by yourself, because I won't be here.
And I'll try not to be karaoke.
Enjoy.
Have a good night.
You just experienced Juicebox Radio, a show dedicated to developing your relational and individual sexual health, expressing diversity, celebrating queerness, and encouraging pleasure at all stages. Be sure to tune into Juicebox every Wednesday night at 10. In the meantime, you can check out juiceboxradio.com. Thanks for listening.